Ramsey TV.
I am Martin Zender. I am your helpful guide in times of trouble. When things look despairing, when the darkness of Eon 3 descends, when perilous periods are present, yes, I'm here as a very present help. I help myself at the same time. I'm greedy that way. I need to talk to you every day. I'm just as helped as you are by these programs. So welcome to the show. Here we go again. I thank everybody for your comments on Monday's show. Monday's show was kind of rough. That was the one where I was outside on my patio before the sun came up. I was smoking in my inimitable way, and you don't want to imitate me because someone once said I smoke like an 18-year-old girl, and I really resented that because I think I smoke like a 13-year-old girl because I don't know how to smoke. And I thought that video was so bad that when I started editing it, and I just said, I can't publish this. It's a pathetic video. Not only that I look stupid smoking, but just the tenor of it, I just didn't like it. So I thought, well, God, you know, this is your thing. I don't have anything else. So I published it. And once again, you told me, oh, Martin, I was just thinking that. Martin, you must be in my head. I was just feeling so alone and so isolated. Somebody else said, every time I'm in a group, people are talking about their retirement plans, and they're talking about their kids and their grandkids and all these plans they have for the future. And I just sit there feeling like a dope, feeling like I'm left out. You just really hit it. So there you go again. It's a God thing. I'm just the conduit here. So I appreciated your comments. They really made my day because I was thinking, you know, I never like to even think that I'm cheating on a video. That is mailing it in. That is not being completely into it, you know. And most of the time, I am completely into it. But on that one, I just felt kind of forlorn. It was a God thing. He hijacked it. And I'm very thankful for that. So today we are, oh, by the way, nothing changes. Nothing changes out there in the world. I'm friends with I just want to be friends with the lowliest of people. I've told you I feel a camaraderie with the homeless. And I like talking to them. And the other day when I was running, I always imagined being homeless, like how I would make it. And I think I would make it because I have no problem eating food, like off the floor or from somebody else's leftovers. I would have no problem, like, at a restaurant when the busboy is scraping stuff into the plate. Oh, wait, save those French fries. I got no problem with that. So I'm sure I could really thrive as a homeless person. And I'm thinking I would still want to smoke. So I thought, you know, what would you do all day? I would still make my show. I would still join the gym because I would need a place to take a shower once in a while. I want to keep my fitness. It'd be hard to say whether I would run. If you're outdoors, it'd be hard to run because you're already sweating down here. You would think if you're going to be a homeless person, Fort Lauderdale is a good plan. In the summer, I'm not so sure about that because the heat is oppressive and there's no fans. That would be the hardest thing for me. I would have a battery-operated fan. I would have a battery-operated fan. But I thought I would want to smoke, and I thought to take up the time, it would be fun to try to find used cigarettes. You know, and at the end of the day, by the time you were done picking up, you know, half-smoked cigarettes or something, maybe you could smoke 2 or 3 cigarettes a day. So my entire run, I was scanning the ground, seeing if I could find, like, I wasn't going to smoke them. I was just, you know, just in case I was playing, I was doing a reconnaissance. And it's amazing how very few people throw away half-smoked cigarettes. Most people smoke them down to the nub. I didn't find one. I didn't see one. Well, no, I did see one that had, like, just probably 3 or 4 puffs left. Otherwise, you're smoking a lot of filters. I mean, smoking the actual filters. So I was surprised. I was surprised. I would think more people are impatient in this world and they're just throwing their cigarettes down half smoked because nobody has patience. I barely have patience to even smoke a whole cigarette these days. Phil Meal tried to give me a cigar and I said, I appreciate it, but I just don't have the patience to smoke a cigar. I said, I can barely get through a cigarette. I don't know what my problem is, except it has something to do with the world out there and my fatigue concerning it. So today I'm going to talk about going back to the 7,000 year plan of God, 6,000 years of humanity, 1,000 years of peace on the earth, of course, mimicking the original 6-1, which is 6 days of creation, 1 day of stopping, and the Rosetta Stone passage from 2 Peter 3:18, is it? I should know it by now. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years as a day. That's a key to help us interpret passages. To see a meaning behind the literal meaning. We always take things literal if possible, but there's also meaning behind that, especially when you have this key, a day is as 1,000 years. And I've been at this Baptist site. It's called, that's not it, this Baptist site. The name of this Baptist site is BibleBaptistPublications.org, but they have this article called the 7,000 year plan, and they brought up, as I've told you, they brought up many times in the scriptures where the 6-1 ratio is used. 6-1, God loves 6-1, and this tells me that we're not dreaming any of this up as far as how near we are to the end. So I think I left off with the 7 trumpets after 6 days, when Israel circles Jericho on the 7th day. They took the city. You remember that one? 6 days marching around Jericho one time. Picture the 6,000 years of man's dominion on earth. And then Joshua and his men. Picture Jesus and his saints. Joshua being the Hebrew name Jesus. And then on the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times. And boom, Jericho fell. And Shazam, Israel had entered the promised land. The king revealed at 7. Listen to this. This is from 2 Kings, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. These are strange people named here. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, that was a sad day for her, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Sound like a bitter woman. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, are you getting all this? The son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber of Athaliah, so that he was not slain. The payoff's coming, hang on. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord, 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Here's the commentary from BibleBaptistPublications.org. I need this commentary because it was hard for me to follow that account. The name Joash means whom Jehovah bestowed, which makes him a picture of Jesus Christ. I believe that, yes. Along with the fact that he was a good Jewish king, there were a few of those who replaced corrupt leaders. He was hid in the house of the Lord 6 years before becoming king. Then notice what happens in the 7th year. Notice what happens in the 7th year. Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son, who was hid for 6 years. They didn't know this guy existed. They thought that every seed from the king was destroyed. There was no offspring. I guess they were happy about that. It was part of some master plan. I don't know. I don't think like these people think. But all of a sudden, this son of the king came out of nowhere, and he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. So that's where that saying comes from. So Jesus is presently hid. Here's the analogy. Jesus is presently hid in heaven. Yes, that's true. And our life is also hid together with God in Christ, Colossians chapter 3. But Jesus Christ will be revealed and crowned after 6,000 years. There's the 6 years. And in the seventh year, this hidden king is revealed. After 6,000 years, Christ, who has been hid, and God has hid himself as well. After 6,000 years of Satan's corrupt leadership, using human beings to disgrace themselves and to show the world how not to do it, in the seventh year, this king is revealed. So the analogy there is pretty great. And listen to this one. Six steps to the throne concerning Solomon's throne. And there were six steps to the throne with a footstool of gold which were fastened to the throne and stays on each side of the sitting place and two lions standing by. There's no reference there, so I'll put the reference down here. Solomon's peaceful kingdom was a foreshadow of the coming millennium kingdom of Christ. In fact, Jesus is called the Son of David, like Solomon. Solomon was also a son of David. Jesus is called the Son of David in Matthew 9:27, and he compared himself to Solomon in Matthew 12:42. Notice that there were exactly six steps to the throne. Yes, but where's the reference? You don't put the reference here. You have to help me here. I didn't know there were six steps to the throne. This is interesting. Six steps. Not three. Not four. Not seven or eight. Six steps to Solomon's throne, which I can imagine was ornate and glorious. The reason does seem pretty clear. There are six millennial steps, 6,000 years, to Christ's millennial throne, each step being 1,000 years. That's pretty cool. A kingdom after 6 days. This is from Matthew 16, verses 28 through 17. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here. This is probably from the King James Version. Forgive me for that. Who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days, there we go. Six, by the way, let me remind you, is the number of man. Seven is the number of God. And I made a video a couple weeks back where I said I just now noticed after years of counting, learning how to count when I was 3 years old, that six is next to seven. But the significance of that is remarkable when you realize that six is everything man can do, 666. And it's just one short step to seven. Six is right next to seven. Never realized the significance of that. It's good and bad. The bad part is that the imitation is very close to the true. Just like the tares and the wheat, Jesus said, let them grow together. He was referring to a parable he had told. And the angel, the messenger in that parable, said to the reapers who wanted to get rid of the tares, no, don't. The tares look too close to the wheat. They look the same. And they do. I showed you a picture, I think, of tares and wheat. They look the same. Wait until the harvest. Then you see the fruit. Then you see how it is. You have a better assessment of things, then you cull the tares out from the wheat. But Satan is a messenger of light, very close. This is why the Christians who are stuck in their religion, they can't see that it's 666, because it's so close to seven. Seven is the number of perfection. The difference between six and seven is one, one being the number of God. When God inserts himself into the 666, we will have finally the perfect kingdom on earth. That's a great truth. So after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up to a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And while he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, Peter, shut up. No, sorry, that was my paraphrase. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And now the commentary from, I hate to say it, but they have some good stuff here, BibleBaptistPublications.org. This passage is loaded with prophetic truth. It is indeed. Matthew 16:28 speaks of the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Then the next verse begins with, "And after 6 days." So the kingdom will come after 6 days on God's calendar. 6 prophetic days. 6 days in light of 2 Peter 3:18. A day is as 1,000 years to God. 1,000 years as a day. This is a nice key given to those of us who want to know when Christ is returning. This is a great truth that God hides this. It's not on the surface. He hides it from people who don't really care. But for people who want to look, God winks and says, "I got clues in here. If you really want to know, I will tell you when I'm going to return. I will give you a general idea, a pretty specific idea. No one knows the day or the hour, but you can know the month and the year. And when it gets close, you will know." This is part of Daniel's prophecy. I think it's in 12:3 that in the end, in the last days, knowledge will increase. Not only the technological knowledge that we have gained, but also knowledge of prophecy, knowledge of the scriptures. Don't let anybody tell you that prophecy is only to be understood in retrospect. I think that's Clyde's teaching now, that you can't know the future from prophecy. Don't even bother. What? The wise men knew when they went to Herod that the king of Israel, the Messiah, was going to be born in Bethlehem, so they made a beeline to Bethlehem. What do you mean you can't know what's going to happen in the future through prophecy? That's the purpose of prophecy. Some people don't like dabbling in what we would call end time truth because they don't want the Lord to return just yet. They have things to do on this earth, people to love, grandchildren to sit on their laps. So the kingdom will come after 6 days on God's calendar. What follows in the passage is clearly a reference to the second coming of Christ. Indeed it is. A high mountain. His face did shine as the sun. Moses and Elijah. Tabernacles. A bright cloud. A voice out of the cloud. Talk about prophetically laden passages, verses here. All this is second coming language, referred to in the business as SCL. Yes, and it all comes after 6 days. This is no accident. Okay, starting tomorrow now, we're going to do 2-1. We're going to do the 2-1 ratio. This is great because God is so good to comfort us. Not only is this 6-1 ratio here, and all these 6-1 references in scriptures that have to do with 6 days passing or 6 years passing, and we can make the extrapolation to 6,000 years because of the passage in Peter, and then something great happening, then a reference to a kingdom or a reference to a victory in Jericho, or even in the sabbatical year, a reference to the land getting rest, and of course the weekly Sabbath of stopping. It's just all there, and God's saying, "You get this? Do you get this?" And then not only that, but there's the 2-1, the time since Christ. Christ was the centerpiece of the Aeonian times. And so it is gracious of God to say, I'm going to like corroborate this. I'm going to give you a second witness. We're not only going to do 6-1, but I do 2-1. God says, I do 3 days. 3 days is very significant. Jonah in the belly of the whale, Jesus Christ in the belly of the earth for 3 days. 3 days, 3 days, and you will see that 3 days can be broken down into 2 days and 1 day. Why is this significant? Because we're looking at 2 days, two prophetic days, 2,000 years from the time of Christ. And if you can count 2,000 years from the time of Christ, and we can, this will help us to understand when the 6,000 years started. Because there were 4,000 years from the time of Adam to Christ. This corresponds to the four watches of the night. I can get into details on that. Again, I did it during the Revelation Osiris. So the four watches of the night until the coming of Christ, and then there's 2,000 years from Christ to the second coming of Christ. 4 and 2 is 6. The whole thing is 6,000 years. So there's, you're going to love this 2-1 thing, this 2-1 ratio. Christ abiding to, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 references, 8 to 1 references for us. 8 being a number of new beginning. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So I'm going to start that tomorrow. I might be 2 days on that. We're going to luxuriate in it because, ladies and gentlemen, we are not imagining ourselves to be at the end. God is a genius, intelligent creator, and he is not going to leave those who love him and those who look for him. He's not going to leave us without this information. People ask me all the time, well, how do you know that the Bible's the word of God? A creator as intelligent as ours will not leave the human race bereft of answers. We need to know why we're here. We need to know where we're going. We need to know who created the earth. We need to know how he did it. We need to see the history of his working in the human race. We need to see the purpose of the failure of human beings. We need all this information, and God being wise and a provisional God, he provides it for us. He gives it to us. Otherwise, we'd all be adrift. Everyone would be dreaming up their own ideas. Even with the scriptures, people dream up their own ideas. What do you think they would do without the scriptures? What do you think they would do without the scriptures?